Hi, I'm Ben Desmond, and I'm in the Master of Entrepreneurship program at Western Carolina University, and I'm in the Master of Entrepreneurship Cohort 8 for the fall of 2010. And this is a podcast interviewing Cliff Bridgers of RBR Books in Leland, North Carolina. Maybe give a brief introduction of yourself.
Sure. Cliff Bridgers, CLIFBRIDGERS, currently a bookstore owner, have been in full brick and mortar business for going on 3 years now. I'm retired systems engineer, information technology manager, did that for 18 plus years up in the Washington, D.C. area. Master's in educational technology, undergraduate in communication theory. Married, three kids. Kids are in college and beyond. And that's how we got into this. Lots of reading. And lots of book collecting, and then eventually we just opened up a bookstore to start doing what we do.
RBR Books is your company's name. So,
The company's name is Rare Bargain Readers, but it was a mouthful to say, so we just
okay.
abbreviated to RBR.
How did you come to start RBR Books?
We've been readers, our whole family's a bunch of readers, our house was chock full of books, and I've spent my life in bookstores, reading for work, reading for pleasure, all that kind of thing, my wife as well. So when we both retired out of our jobs, we said, well, why don't we open a bookstore simply because that's what we've always wanted to do, and this town needed one. So here we are.
Was the process of starting up a smooth process?
It's like any small business. You have to plan for it. You have to, obviously set up your business plan, project out what you plan to be doing, what you want to be doing, where you want to be over certain periods of time. What objectives you want to meet, what goals you have to meet to declare yourself successful, and then coordinating with facilities, getting the right space and the right location for the right price, finding the right inventory, then getting the word out, advertising, word of mouth, all those kinds of things just to open the doors. And then that continues on through there. So, relatively speaking, it was a smooth process for us simply because we self-financed. We didn't go through outside financing, which cuts through a lot of red tape because you don't have to go to banks or lenders or anything and wait for all that to happen. Since we bootstrapped this out of our own funds, it made things go a lot faster.
You would recommend to anybody starting up a small business, that's probably the way to go financially, right?
No, probably I wouldn't recommend that. There are arguments for and against doing that. One, it is your money, and you can either be terribly successful on your own dime or a horrible failure on your own dime. And there are arguments that always use other people's money is the way to go. So we chose to do it ourselves, but some people find it more attractive to use other people's money, meaning banks and whatnot, to take the risk.
I was at the NC Entrepreneurship Summit a couple of weeks ago, and it seemed like self-financing was really the hot topic. Everybody
Oh,
was
yeah.
kind of talking about that.
Simply, like I said before, it expedites a lot of things. You have full control over what happens, as opposed to like a lot of, particularly SBA loans, a lot of strings. What you can do, where you can do, how you can do, your repayment schedules, all that stuff drives how you build business. When you bootstrap, self-finance, you don't answer to anybody. You just do it.
One of the things that I'm interested in my studies is rural entrepreneurship. I think you're Brunswick County, right? So
Correct.
that's considered a rural county. Was there anything that was there to help you?
There's a bunch of, no, the financing is a big part of it, yes, but there's some other things that you have to pay attention to when you're selecting a location for a business. Is there the infrastructure to support the kind of business you want? And for us, it was fairly easy because we're not doing anything terribly high tech. If we're going total high tech with some other kind of business, I'd want to know that there was access to ultra high speed internet and all those kinds of technology infrastructure things. But in the case of where we are, we're in the town of Leland in Brunswick County. The North Brunswick County Chamber of Commerce is very strong here and very helpful in nurturing small businesses. I won't say they do an incubator kind of thing, but they're very good about making sure everybody knows who is in the business community, tying everybody together, self-promoting within the business community so everybody knows who's in town doing what business and who needs what to keep things going. So that's a very important part of selecting a business location. There has to be an active business environment. It can't just be a bunch of people wandering around doing business stuff. They actually have to engage the business activity of the surrounding area. And this town and the North Brunswick Chamber of Commerce are very good at that.
The obvious question is, people are buying online left and right. There's the Amazon.com and things. What sets you apart from those companies?
Our primary business is here, the physical location. We do compete in the online sales, but that's not our primary business. It kind of is there. It's something we do because it puts our word out there so people are aware. Because we'll often have orders come in from the online venues from people in our immediate area, and they'll get our delivery in a couple of days and say, "We never knew there was a bookstore in town." And then they turn into our in-person customers. Because for them, it's a matter of convenience. We're right here. We're only a few minutes from anywhere in North Brunswick County. And they can walk in the door and say, "I'm looking for something to read. Can you help me pick something?" And that's very different from the online buying experience, where you kind of have to know what you're looking for. And you kind of have to spend a lot of time, if you don't know what you're looking, reading through the genres, reading the reviews, reading all this stuff to try and figure out, is that going to be a book I'm going to like? Where you can walk into a small business like mine and they say, "Well, I'm trying to find a book to read." And we go, "Do you like mysteries? Do you like nonfiction?" And we can help them shape their buying decision much more rapidly and in a way that's helpful to them, that they remember and they come back again and say, "That was a great book you helped me pick out last time. Do you have something else like it?" And for a lot of folks, that's worth the trip to the bookstore, as opposed to, clicking around all day and then not being terribly happy with the book they get online, whether they paid $4 or $40 for it. The price isn't as big a driver in the in-person experience. It's, am I getting something I know I'm going to like, that it's my $4 well spent or my $40 well spent? And we can help them along that path.
You also have a couple of big box bookstores that are in the Wilmington area. Obviously, there are some differences in what you offer and what they offer. So did you want to maybe speak about that?
Sure. Yeah, there's two big box stores. And from us, they're across the river. So for a lot of folks that live here, that's all the way in town. That's a long distance for them, for convenience sake. Now, that's not to say they don't shop there. They go there. I know they do. That's fine. Because the big box experience does offer things I can't in terms of volume, just the depth of inventory. We try to cater to the local community and what their reading tastes are. So if you want some obscure book on ornithology from 1992's symposia on ornithology given in Europe, you can probably find that at Barnes & Noble. But if you want something that I know this community is already actively reading, I'm more likely to have that. The other thing that we do that Barnes & Noble doesn't, or Books A Million doesn't, is we have a very large part of our inventory is used books. So people will come in, they bring in their used books, they trade them for other used books to read, they pick up another couple books while they're here, and that's something you just can't do at Barnes & Noble. I'll have books that are published 3-4 months earlier, they'll come back to me as used, so somebody can come in and get something that's still relatively recent for $4 or $5, as opposed to $27.95, even with their 40% discount at wherever, and they're just as happy as if they had spent the $27 plus tax at one of the big box stores, simply because I can offer to them as used at a relatively steep discount, simply because my cost to acquire it is much lower, therefore I can sell it to them at what amounts to a bargain price.
With the current economy and everything, it seems like things might be picking up, but I also hear people saying it's going to get worse again.
When we decided to open this business, the market, everything was gorgeous, business-wise. The day we opened the doors is pretty much when everything went in the tank. I'm not saying the two events are related. So we wondered how we were going to do it. But it turns out, as we just alluded to, a large part of my business are used books, and people are looking for those kinds of bargains simply because they can get the same content for a much lower price. So that's been helpful to our business model, simply because we've been consistently staying busy simply because people are willing to come in and buy a lesser cost book. But our business as a whole, since we've been through this all, 29 months now, and it's been all downtime in terms of the economy, I'm really anxious to see it come up because our business has been good. I mean, it hasn't been stellar. We haven't become millionaires overnight or anything like that. But if this is the bad time for us, I'm really excited to see the good time because we're cooking along here. We're doing our thing. But if when the economy really comes back, and it will, just don't know when, then we're looking forward to that. But even if it just stays like this for the next 24 months, because we planned for the downtime before we opened our doors, we provisioned for these kinds of periods of time when things are uncertain, we'll be okay. So anyone who's looking out, remember there are financial obligations and difficulties you can't foresee, but if you provision for those, you put away free cash somewhere or find sourcing pipelines that allow you to acquire things at a great discount, then you can go to those things when things dip a little bit. And then you can replenish those when times are really good. I mean, it seems like common sense, but oftentimes, particularly when you're starting up, you throw it all in there to try and make it work. But forget, 6 months from now may not be the great time and you have dry spots, particularly if you don't know your market yet, because everything has its ups and downs. We figured out where the high spots in our year are and where the low spots are, and they're consistent year to year. Obviously, the last quarter of the year is very good. First quarter of the year is usually very good. And then the second quarter for us consistently is a little lower than the rest of the year. Vacation starting, schools let out, people aren't buying as much books. So if you know the cyclical part of your business and can plan for the ups and downs, then you end up smoothing everything out and you know, you'll be fine.
Do you have any advice that you want to give from your experience, in particularly in the book business or just being a business owner?
For the book business first, and I'll speak more generally. The book business, even today, is highly competitive. And you've talked about this, you know, the online stuff, the big box stores, all this stuff, highly competitive. So it's not something for this particular business you just kind of jump into and you'll make great money. It's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of marketing involved. There's a lot of making sure you offer things specific to your community that benefit them and you as a business. It's not like other businesses where the margins are huge and you're going to make great money no matter what you do. So if you go into anything related to books and media and ephemera, the stuff, you know, stuff that goes along with books, it's not an easy selection as a business simply because it is so hyper-competitive right now. But the book business has always been that way. Even before the internet existed, the book business has been a very competitive business. It's just the nature of the beast. More generally speaking, take the risk, but make it an educated risk. Know everything there is to know about the business you're getting into, not just from reading the back of a magazine, but understanding the details of the business. What are your supply lines? What are your cyclicals? Stupid things like insurance? How much is that going to cost you and why? All those kinds of fixed and variable costs that you can manage way ahead of time, learn that part of the business first. And if you haven't done it before, take a part-time job or a full-time job with a company doing the very same thing and learn it from the inside out. And then you say, when you get off to do it yourself, oh, I know why they don't fill in the blank. Even though I thought it was a great idea, now I know why nobody does that. So you can avoid a lot of trial and error by putting yourself through it first.
Is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Whatever you choose to do, love it. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that 1,000 times, but it really is the truth. It's got to be something you love to do. Otherwise, it's just another job.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm glad you asked. Thank you.
You can find out more about RBR Books by going to rbrbooks.com. This has been Ben Desmond for the Master of Entrepreneurship program at Western Carolina University, fall of 2010. Thank you.